invite you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 14 tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 14. Where we see are at tonight is Absalom has fled after killing his brother Amnon. And David is mourned for his son. He notice in 2 Samuel chapter 13, the very last two verses there. We'll go over into chapter number 14 here in just a moment. But it says, so Absalom fled, there in verse 38, chapter 13, verse 38. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. I want you to think about 3 years. David has no communication with Absalom at all. Notice verse 39, and the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. So he's kind of gotten over Amnon's death, but he hadn't got over Absalom being gone. Now here's the problem. The problem is that he can't really invite Absalom back without he knows he's going to have to do something, call Absalom before him and judge him. And he's afraid of being labeled as being partial. And he don't know how it's going to go. He doesn't know how people are going to receive it. And so Joab, his general, is getting kind of frustrated with King David that he's let it go this long. You got David just moping around the palace, wanting his son, and not doing anything about it. And so Joab comes up with a plan, and we're going to see his plan tonight. But I want you to see how sin complicates folks' lives, because that's what this is here. Sin has complicated David's life. People know that sin can complicate their lives and possibly bring about some devastating consequences to them. Yet, they somehow take these effects lightly or believe that somehow they will be the exception to the rule. Don't kid yourself. Now, folks say, well, you know, it'll happen to other folks, but it won't happen to me. It will happen to you, too. We've already seen David reap some terrible consequences because of his sins. And just think about these consequences as I review them. He's had the death of an infant child, the rape of his daughter Tamar, the revenge murder of his firstborn son Amnon, and the fleeing of his son Absalom, afraid of what his dad might do to him, and afraid what the people might do to him. And so he's fled. And this is just the beginning of what has become a very complicated life for David now. David only thought his life was complicated when he was on the run from Saul. Remember how complicated that was? I mean, you know, from one place to another, he was going all over the place. This is a whole different ballgame here. Because David is the one that set this in motion. God had that other thing taken care of. David's having to deal with this. This chapter, we see the beginning of the complications lived out as David deals with family rebellion. In fact, we see that chapters 14 through 18 will make up the bulk of this rebellion that we're going to be talking about, Absalom's rebellion. It begins first with Absalom being away 3 years. And all this time, Absalom's mad that his daddy hadn't called him back. His daddy hadn't had any communication with him. And, you know, he's steaming. And it's not a good scenario. David sinned against the Lord, and the Lord forgave him of his sins, but it did not prevent him from having to deal with a complicated life that he brought on himself by his sins. Now, our study tonight reveals how sin complicates life. And the story we find here in chapter 14 is a complicated one. You're going to have to pay attention on purpose as we read through this. But we know that David did not take any action on the rape of Tamar. He didn't deal with Amnon. David did not take action on the revenge murder of Amnon that took place 2 years later. David is not taking any action on the running away of Absalom. Absalom's gone. He's just sitting there having a pity party. My son's gone. You know, I really would like to see my son again, but he's just done nothing about it. I want you to think about it. How could David make an objective decision when all those people involved in this case are so near and dear to him? It's tough making decisions when family's involved. And we see in this chapter, we see that Joab took the initiative to help David with part of his complicated life. Let's pick up here in the story in chapter 14, verse 1. And I'll try to explain as we go along here. It says, "Now Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was toward Absalom." In other words, he saw that David loved Absalom. And he was just brokenhearted that he couldn't ask Absalom back. He found no way to be able to bring him back and not face criticism of the people. "And Joab sent to Tekoa," there in verse 2, "and fetched thence a wise woman." Now, the Tekoa, from what I understand, is a ways outside of Jerusalem. So this woman would not have been known in the area. She was from outside of the area, but yet she came and he talked her into going and doing this deed here. And he said unto her, there in the middle of verse 2, he said unto her, "I pray thee, feign thyself to be a mourner." She's playing make-believe here, okay? The things that she's fixing to tell David is not really true. "Pray thee, feign thyself to be a mourner, and put on now mourning apparel, and anoint not thyself with oil. And be as a woman that hath had a long time mourned for the dead. And come to the king, and speak on this manner unto him." So Joab, notice this, Joab put the words in her mouth. Told her what to say. And so this whole concoction that we're going to read from here all the way until David figures out Joab's behind this, all of it was concocted by Joab. But it was for the purpose of letting King David see, and what we're going to read here, that all this was done so that David could see that it would be okay to ask Absalom to come back. All right, look at verse number 4. "And when the woman of Tekoa spake to the king, she fell on her face to the ground and did obeisance and said, 'Help, O king.' And the king said unto her, 'What aileth thee?' And she answered," and here begins her parable. Now, we know that the last parable, you would think that David's probably on guard already. You know, he's had people tell him his story. Remember, Prophet Nathan come, told him a parable. It wasn't true. He was just telling him his story to point a finger in his face and say, "You're the man." Well, I imagine that when these stories come, he's a little skeptical. And I kind of think that he has a little skepticism here. But nevertheless, he listens to the woman. And she notice there in the middle of verse 5, "And she answered, 'I am indeed a widow woman, and mine husband is dead. And thy handmaid had two sons, and they two strove together in the field, and there was none to part them, but the one smote the other and slew him.'" Now, can you see the parallel? Absalom slew Amnon. You know, the facts are a little bit different, but nevertheless, we see one brother killing another brother. Verse 7, "And behold, the whole family is risen against thine handmaid, and they said, 'Deliver him that smote his brother, that we may kill him for the life of his brother whom he slew, and we will destroy the heir also. And so they shall quench my coal,'" and "they shall quench my coal which is left." That's a phrase that means put my light out. They're going to put the light out of her family. It said, "And shall not leave to my husband neither name nor remainder upon the earth." Verse 8, "And the king said unto the woman, 'Go to thine house, and I will give charge concerning thee.' And the woman of Tekoa said unto the king, My lord, O king, the iniquity be on me and on my father's house, and the king and his throne be guiltless. And the king said, Whosoever saith aught unto thee, bring him to me, and he shall not touch thee any more. In other words, he's going to take care of the situation. Then said she, I pray thee, let the king remember the Lord thy God, that thou wouldest not suffer the revengers of blood to destroy any more, lest they destroy my son. Now, you know, the law made it where a revenger could go and take the life of someone who had murdered. They could go take their life unless they had fled to a city of refuge where they were safe. They were safe in that city of refuge and until they had a trial or until the death of the high priest, I believe is the way it went. Anyway, I don't want to get into all that. But let's look at the middle of verse 11. And he said, As the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of thy son fall to the earth. In other words, she's worried about revengers of blood. He said, You don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of it. Verse 12. Then the woman said, Let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak one word unto my lord the king. And he said, Say on. And the woman said, Wherefore, then hast thou thought such a thing against the people of God? Okay. For the king doth speak this thing as one which is faulty, and that the king doth not fetch home again his banished. Now here's where she reveals that this is she got an ulterior motive behind the story. So you thought bad about the people of God, and you're not calling your own son Absalom home. Look at verse 14. For we must needs die and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means. I like this phrase here. Yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. In other words, God allows for grace. That's what she's saying here. God allows for grace. Aren't you glad God allowed for grace in our lives? He didn't banish us from the kingdom. Amen. But he allowed for us to become part of the kingdom by repenting of our sin and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. Now therefore, that I am come to speak of this thing unto my Lord the King, it is because the people have made me afraid, and thy handmaid said, I will now speak unto the king, then it may be that the king will perform the request of his handmaid. And for the king will hear to deliver his handmaid out of the hand of the man that would destroy me and my son together out of the inheritance of God. Then thine handmaid said, The word of my lord the king shall now be comfortable. For as an angel of God, so is my lord the king to discern good and bad. Excuse me. Therefore, the Lord thy God will be with thee. In other words, she's acknowledging that David is a wise judge here. As king, God's given him the discernment to be able to judge properly. Verse 18, Then the king answered and said unto the woman, Hide not from me, I pray thee, the thing that I shall ask thee. And the woman said, Let my lord the king now speak. And the king said, Is not the hand of Joab with thee in all this? See, he's figured it out. David's figured it out. And the woman answered and said, As thy soul liveth, my lord the king, none can turn to the right hand or to the left from aught that my lord the king has spoken. For thy servant Joab, he bade me, and he put all these words in the mouth of thine handmaid. To fetch about this form of speech, hath thy servant Joab done this thing, and my Lord is wise, according to the wisdom of an angel of God, to know all things that are in the earth. In other words, she's acknowledging again his wisdom to be able to figure this out, and to figure that Joab's the one that's behind it, You know, so look, King, you know, you've got the wisdom. Look how you figured this out. You can get this figured out. Verse 21. And the king said unto Joab, Behold now, I have done this thing. Go therefore, bring the young man Absalom again. So he sends Joab the task, going, bringing Absalom home. And it says there in verse 22, And Joab fell to the ground on his face, bowed himself, and thanked the king. And Joab said, Today thy servant knoweth that I have found grace in thy sight, and my lord, O king, in that the king hath fulfilled the request of his servant. So Joab arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. So Absalom is brought back. Notice verse 24. And the king said, Let him turn to his own house. And let him not see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face. Now he's been gone 3 years. Okay? Been gone 3 years. Now, look at verse 25. But in all Israel, there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. In other words, he's an attractive fellow. Verse 26, And when he polled his head, for it was every year's end that he polled it, because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he polled it, he weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight. And unto Absalom there were born 3 sons and 1 daughter, whose name was Tamar. And don't you find it interesting that he named his daughter after his sister? Okay. And she was a woman of fair countenance. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. So we see here 3, 2, you got 5 years he's not seen dad. And notice verse 29. Therefore Absalom sent for Joab, you know, at the end of 2 years, you know, being home, not seeing his dad. He sends for Joab. So Joab, I need you to go talk to daddy for me. So he sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but Joab was not coming. He said, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come. Therefore he said unto his servants, See, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath a barley there. Go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servants set the field on fire. Joab is the one that negotiated to be able to get Absalom back to Jerusalem. And now he's turned and burned Joab's barley field. So what gives? And that's what Joab comes. He comes in verse 31. Joab arose and came to Absalom unto his house and said unto him, Wherefore have thy servants set my field on fire? What in the world are you doing, dude? Why are you setting my field on fire? Verse 32. And here's the rub here. And Absalom answered Joab, Behold, I sent unto thee, saying, Come hither, that I may send thee to the king to say, Wherefore am I come from Geshur? In other words, why do you have me brought back from Geshur and you're not willing to see me? Okay. Wherefore am I come from Geshur? It had been good for me to have been there still. Now therefore, let me see the king's face. And if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. In other words, he's ready to be judged. You know, tell daddy I want a trial. I want a trial, and if he finds me guilty, he can kill me. So, verse 33, so Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, I want you to notice this, called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. You know something that's missing there? They're not talking to each other. No words exchanged. Find that interesting, don't you? We see that this led to David, that story, that parable that was told by the woman led to Absalom coming back to his house in Jerusalem, but he was not allowed to see David face to face. And he was desperate to have an audience with his dad. He was desperate to get this thing over with. You're going to judge me, judge me. And that's why, verse 32, what he said in verse 32. Why'd you bring me back if you're not going to just take care of this thing? So this ends with David giving a kiss to Absalom. No words are exchanged, no confessions made, no forgiveness is articulated, no counsel or advice either sought or given here. It was complicated. And no doubt awkward. Can't you imagine how awkward it was? You ever been in some awkward situations with family? I mean, you know, maybe words were exchanged years ago or something, but somebody didn't like something that you did years ago, and then you finally see them again after a number of years, and it's awkward when you see them again. Right? It's awkward. And so we see an awkward situation here. It's complicated. The consequences of David's sins continue just as the Lord said they would. Remember 2 Samuel 12:11. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. Well, it's coming. Some has already come. More is coming. This is not the end of Absalom's story. Okay? There's more to come on Absalom, as we'll see in the chapters to come. Chapter is a continuation of the consequences and, yes, even the complications to David's life that God said would come to him because of his sins. Now, David's sins are in the past. God has forgiven him. And we might find this difficult to understand. But see, some of these complications that come with choosing to sin are going to be present with David even until he goes to the grave. And some of them are going to be there even after he's in the grave. Some of the consequences still remained after that time. Now, I'm sure that this is not the legacy that David would have liked to sing, yet he chose to sin. And in choosing that, he chose this legacy. It was chosen for him by his actions. Always remember, and I've said this, I can't tell you how many times I've said this in the almost 10 years that I've been here. You can choose to do wrong, but you cannot choose the consequences. Okay? You choose to do wrong, but you can't choose the consequences. So David's problems are far from over. And since David did not take any action in the case of Tamar and Amnon and Absalom, another set of problems arose. With Absalom finding no answers to his case, anger starts to build up in him as he's away from his dad, and then as he's back nearby but still away from his dad there in Jerusalem. And you know King David had to know that an alliance of an angry son, talking about Absalom, and a frustrated captain, Joab, might eventually be disastrous, right? Since this problem involves David and his direct family, making an objective decision as judge was complicated. He's the one that complicated it. My, how life is different now for David. This is not because God originally planned this for David, but this is because David chose a different direction for his life by choosing to commit adultery and by choosing to commit murder, having Uriah the Hittite killed. And these are the natural consequences of the act of David when he chose to sin against the Lord. So, do you see how the Lord has allowed us to see how choosing to sin can make life difficult and make it complicated? There's a lesson for us in there. I mean, we know that from 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And we know that the things that were written aforetime, as Paul said in Romans 15:4, he said, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. God wants us to learn something from this. And I believe the message for us is to stay on guard for sin in our life. Amen? Stay on guard. Because choosing to sin really devastates and complicates our lives. Remember what we're talking about on Sunday evenings? James 1:15, just recently we saw, sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Remember us talking about what does it mean, death? Well, for David, it was the death of an infant, the death of Tamar's virginity, the death of his firstborn Amnon, the death of his relationship with Absalom, and eventually we're going to see Absalom's death. Death, 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 death. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. In other words, we also see the death of life as David once knew, don't we? The death of life as he once knew. So sin complicates the life. And so it behooves us to make our way back to God as soon as possible to lessen sin's consequences and complications. Remember, David let it go on for 9 months. He made Nathan come to him, point finger in his face, before he did anything about his sin. And he let it fester. You think things might have been different if he'd have taken care of it quickly? Fell on his face immediately and said, "Boy, I really messed up." I think there still would have been consequences, but maybe not as hard consequences as what we see. So, I believe that's what God would have us to learn from that. All right, that's our Bible study for this evening. We'll continue to look at the life of Absalom and some bad things are coming. And we'll take a look at those later. All right, let's pull out our prayer list, pray for the needs, and we'll be dismissed.